Welcome and thanks for listening. This is your Nebraska Judicial Branch.
Hello again. I am your host, Gene Cotter, and today we are gathered to recognize a pretty significant moment in juvenile justice reform in the state of Nebraska. July marks the 10-year anniversary of Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiatives, or JDAI. To help us with this recognition and discuss in more detail what JDAI actually is, today we have with us Nebraska's Court Administrator Corey Steele and Tony Vargas, Nebraska State Senator from Omaha's 7th District. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Gene.
Thanks for having us.
So in addition to being a state senator and the court administrator, you are also the co-chairs of the Nebraska JDAI Collaborative. Corey, we know what JDAI stands for, but could you tell us a little bit more about what exactly it means?
Sure. JDAI, or JDAI, Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative, is a framework based on 8 core strategies from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. This initiative has gone across the United States over several years. Bart Lubow, who is the original director of the JDAI project, started this initiative from the sense where he was in the courtroom as a public defender and saw that juveniles were lingering in detention. There were no alternatives for kids to be released from. And so he came up with a concept of how do we build reform efforts in juvenile justice for kids that are in detention and are in those detention facilities for too long and then not being released to anything. And so there's 8 core strategies that Annie E. Casey and the JDAI folks came up with to promote smarter, more equitable, and efficient, effective juvenile justice systems. Again, to help kids and families when they do get in trouble and do get into the system, how the system can start working for them instead of put them in detention facilities and kind of leave them there while they figure out what to do.
So, Corey, one of the things, I don't know that people know this about you, but you have worked in juvenile justice for a long time. Long before you became the court administrator, you were a probation officer, you worked as an expediter around issues regarding kids in Lancaster County before you came back to probation and court administration. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the history of JDAI in Nebraska.
So the history in Nebraska actually goes back several years. Both Douglas County and Lancaster County, and in my former position, we did probably pieces of JDAI. The Nebraska probation system did pieces of JDAI, detention screening instrument that was put into statute way before we were involved in the initiative. We started building community-based services. We were doing some of the core essential functions of JDAI. But it wasn't held to fidelity in the sense that we weren't doing all the 8 core strategies. We weren't looking at the data quite like we are today. And we were kind of just grasping at the research that was out there and the materials that were out there from Annie E. Casey in doing detention reform. And so once we reached out and Commissioner Chris Rogers from Douglas County Board of Commissioners was very instrumental in bringing Bart Lubow and the Casey folks to Douglas County. Originally, we were told, no, they were not taking any new sites, that they were actually taking a pause and working on the sites that they had. But Commissioner Rogers was tenacious, I said earlier today, in the fact that he continued to call and email and say, no, we need you here, and put data together for Douglas County to show the disparate rates of minorities in detention, the length of stay in detention, and the number of days kids were staying in detention and the population. And so it was he put together a good story, so to speak, to show the Casey folks that we needed to start this initiative in Nebraska. And again, where else? We always say if we can make an initiative or a reform effort work in Douglas County, we can make it work anywhere in Nebraska. 10 years ago, 2011, is when Casey came in and officially recognized Douglas County as the first JDAI site in Nebraska. And we've taken it from there and expanded based on our state collaborative.
One of the core principles of JDAI is collaboration. And before I bring Senator Vargas into the conversation, obviously, the state legislature is a major collaborative partner in these initiatives. Could you talk just very briefly about who the other key collaborators are?
Well, collaboration for the JDAI initiative is crucial. It's all about relationship building. It's all about bringing people to the table. It's all about doing what is needed for your community. And you have to have system partners across the board to make this reform effort work, from prosecutor's office, public defender's office, probation, HHS, and judges, the main court stakeholders, but then you have the community-based providers as well. You have to have the community buy-in in order to do this as well. We have to have providers step up and provide services, and sometimes different services than they're used to doing. You have to have people within the community to step up and be those mentors and come to the initiative for the right cause. And so this collaboration is the number one strategy in JDAI because of the important role that it plays with everybody coming to the table and everybody being on the same page in what you need to do within your community. JDAI has the 8 core strategies, but that's about as scripted as it comes. After that, it is really location-based. So you and the folks sit at the table within your community to determine what your need is. JDAI doesn't come and say, you need X, Y, or Z. They're going to say, here are the 8 strategies. Here's the framework in order to have the system changes that are needed. And it's that collaboration that makes that happen. It's vital for this initiative to even work.
So implementation is always one of the big things to overcome when you're doing initiatives like this. So Senator Vargas, former Senator Ashford before you kind of started talking about and implementing JDAI, but the legislature has been an impetus behind JDAI. Can you talk just briefly about how you became personally involved in JDAI?
Yeah, happy to. So one, you mentioned Senator Ashford. So the Nebraska legislature, we have term limits. We've been lucky to have some really amazing leaders in the past. Senator Ashford has been one that worked on juvenile justice and carried us into this alongside many of the other people that Corey just mentioned. But I actually came under the wing of Senator Bob Crist. And I remember when he told me about this initiative, and largely because of the conversations that he and I had. You know, I was a former public school teacher. I previously served as a school board member for Omaha Public Schools and had worked on a lot of issues that dealt with the juvenile justice system, specifically trying to reduce the number of youth that were getting into the system, because we were seeing large numbers of youth in specific zip codes within Omaha Public Schools that were getting into the justice system. And at OPS and at our level, we wanted to make sure we were trying to reduce this sort of pathway to prison that many people call, because it starts so early. And so fast forward, I became a state senator in 2016. I had this conversation with Bob about the things that I love, my background, experiences. And he's like, you know, I wonder if you'd want to work with me on JDAI. And I said, sure. And so he kind of passed the reins over as when he departed. And I've been co-chair ever since with Corey. And it's just been a really important aspect of my legislative career, largely because to what Corey just said, you know, there is an aspect of work that's legislative, but there's also an aspect of this work that the only way it operates is if there's collaboration and sort of self-run, self-motivation done at the individual sites. And if that's not there, you can't actually get change done, because change doesn't always come from the top or bottom. It's got to come all different ways. And so that's what I've been the most proud of, working with this, and that's how I got into this.
If the legislative branch and the judicial branch are pulling in opposite directions, you're not going to get where you need to go.
Exactly. Yeah, we got to work together. We have to figure out that way. And I'm really lucky. You know, we've always been able to identify problems, and largely it's, okay, how do the efficiencies can work out amongst the sites themselves, you know? And sometimes we work on legislation. Sometimes it's really just having conversations with the stakeholders themselves. And oftentimes it's just really getting back and grounded on the data and trying to figure out how we can continue to improve on the status on where we are.
Before I get to the data, just a couple of quick follow-ups from something you just said. Number one, I think there's a misnomer out there that says JDAI is trying to get rid of detention. I don't think that that's the case. Could you talk a little bit about what detention and what JDAI is attempting to do around detention?
Yes. So one, just so everybody knows and understands this, the way that I view this and the way we talk about it is JDAI is trying to reduce the use of detention when it is unnecessary and improve alternatives to detention. There's going to be a need for detention, but what we're trying to use are evidence-based practices and data-informed decision-making, what we're seeing working across the country. We can learn from other sites, and we can also and have been a leader in how to reduce detention. And so I think that's the way we talk about it when we're working with stakeholders, because there's always going to be a need for it, but we need to make sure that we're not over-relying or overusing. And that requires conversations, intention, looking at data, working across with stakeholders, and doing that type of community engagement. And so I've been lucky to work with everybody on this.
You've talked a couple times about the statistics, and I'm going to get back to Corey in a minute to maybe talk about or just highlight some of the successes of JDI over the first 10 years. But one of the other major initiatives of JDI is trying to eliminate disparate minority contact, not only within detention, but within the system. Could you talk a little bit about just the importance of that, and especially through a legislative lens, the things that the Nebraska legislature is trying to do to make those things more equitable?
Yeah. So one, we do have an overrepresentation of Black and brown youth in our justice system. It is what the data shows us. It's across all different systems. And I think that's one, we can't solve a problem unless we accept that there is one. And that is one of the aspects and principles of JDAI, is that we're trying to reduce racial disparities. And we've seen that in many of our sites. We saw that in Douglas County. It was what originally, one of the original reasons this was brought about, was not only because of the detention numbers, but also who are the individuals that we're detaining and what are their backgrounds, what are their racial and ethnic identities. I think that we've clearly demonstrated improvement, not just in Douglas County, but in several other sites as well, in our reduction numbers, especially along lines of race and ethnicity. And I think it's as a result of being intentional. Like, we have to say that there are these disparities exist, and we have to work to try to actively work against them. I think we've also benefited from past legislation, and Corey's mentioned this with our risk assessment tool. And we also had our recent legislation that worked on reducing our detention over-reliance on detention that we passed about 3 years ago. And this is LB 1112 that originally actually got put into another bill, LB 670, that's trying to reduce our over-reliance on juvenile detention. All these things in together are saying we can do better by reducing these disparities without sort of just targeting race and ethnicity. We can do it through legislation. We can do it through community efforts and engagement. We can also do it through training and development.
Corey, talk a little bit about the risk assessment, if you would. Senator Vargas mentioned it. You mentioned it previously. You know, I remember a call that I received one time when I was working juvenile detention from a police officer who showed up at a family's house. The dad, who had encouraged or encountered law enforcement in the 70s, just got taken to detention and thrown in there. So the dad was like, I want him to go spend the night in detention. By the time I even got a chance to talk to the police officer knew that I wasn't going to be able to do anything. So the police officer wasn't even there anymore. We've come a long way since the 80s and 90s. What exactly goes into a risk assessment tool?
So a risk assessment tool for detention is different than a risk assessment tool for supervision or case management. The detention risk assessment is purely based to say, A, is this juvenile going to continue to commit, or B, somebody that is in the community and going to be a safety risk to the community, or is this juvenile going to be a flight risk prior to court involvement? So it's very short term. We know when kids get into trouble, typically they're within the court system within anywhere from a few weeks to a month or two for their first appearance in front of a judge. This is looking at that time span before they're in front of a judge to say, are they a risk to the community to continue to harm the community, and are they a flight risk and will not show up for court? That's the sole purpose of that instrument. So we look at prior record. We look at things that runaway history. You look at the offense itself. You talk with law enforcement. You see their involvement in whether it be with HHS or with probation. And those things all accumulate into what we say is a score that determines what's the needed level of supervision and services to keep the kid and the community safe.
And whereas it's not always 100% accurate, these things are based in science, they're validated, they're normed. It's just not something that somebody scribbled together on a napkin someplace, right?
Correct. We've had a couple iterations of our juvenile detention screening instrument in the state of Nebraska from when it was created to where it is today. And even today, we're going through that process. We're currently validating and norming our current screening instrument with the University of Florida. And so we're working with outside experts that are looking at the statistical analysis, looking at the recidivism rates, looking at the detention rates, the failure rates of those kids that we come in contact with that go through that. There's several levels as well of, with the screening instrument, the outcomes of what that intake is, whether they go home, home with services, home on electronic monitoring, or staff secure, or they could stay in detention.
10 years in, can you highlight just some of the positives that you have seen since JDI became part of the Nebraska culture over the last decade?
Well, I think the first and foremost, the biggest thing, what Senator Vargas talked about, is the reduction of number of juveniles in detention across the state of Nebraska. Our statistics are telling us from today where we were 10 years ago, we see 50% reduction in the amount of kids that spend the night in detention. So we're targeting the right kids at the right time to put in detention, not just any kid goes into detention if they do something wrong. So a 50% reduction. We have developed an enormous amount of community-based providers providing more services for us during that time frame so that we have options instead of home or detention. There's now a breadth of community-based resources that we can be utilized, day reporting centers, evening reporting centers. We have stop-in shops where kids can go and get job readiness training. We utilize home detention, which is a kid is says you need to stay home, or we have electronic monitoring where a kid is monitored electronically. So adding these initiatives, these job readiness programs, all of these different things that we do has expanded across the state, has definitely helped within the juvenile justice population. And so those things, and then continual update of our risk assessment so that we're staying at the forefront of the science, of the data, of what we need to do in order to make sure we're making sound decisions at that point in time.
Before I let you go, I'm going to ask this question of both of you. I'll start with Senator Vargas. Where do you see JDI going in the next 10 years?
Next 10 years... I would say this. My hope is that we need to continue to be mindful of why we got into this specific space, this collaboration started in the first place. I want to make sure that we're continuing to monitoring detention numbers and that we don't lose sight of that. Because I think when we stop focusing and identifying why we did efficiencies, why we use the tool, why we're trying to invest in and find different alternatives in that continuum that Corey mentioned on alternative detention, And things that are not reactive, proactive, you know, upstream things to help juveniles, we need to continue to focus on that. My hope is 10 years from now, we also see JDAI sites identifying and what we're seeing right now being even more proactive on collaborative efforts on things that operate outside of detention that are trying to get, and you said this before, upstream as possible. We need to continue to focus on making sure stakeholders are talking to one another, because a lot of this is what happens before a juvenile even gets detained, and learning and using the data to be able to actively learn from the different sort of different cases that we have so that we are being more proactive on reducing the racial and ethnic disparities. We're lucky our executive committee has been working on our strategic planning for the next 4 years, 4 to 5 years. And this strategic planning is guided by the input of our stakeholders, and we're going to do everything we can to support them in leading this work in their sites and also across the state.
Corey, same question. Where do you, through the eyes of the collaborative, as a co-chair, as the court administrator, where would you like to see JDI go moving into the future?
Just so I don't reiterate the words that Senator Vargas said, the things that are different from what he had talked about is I want to see continued expansion across the state. And so we're holistic. I'm a firm believer in access to justice. Everybody should have the same access to justice no matter where they are. Justice and geography have to mesh. That was why we were purposeful about taking on Cass and Odo counties. Cass and Odo probably are more of what Nebraska is like than the Lancaster and Douglas and Hall County. That's our major population base, and we understand that. But we need to figure out ways to provide services to kids in those other areas. Odo County hasn't detained a kid in over a year. So sometimes the question is asked, why do we need to participate in this? Why do we need to be involved in this? Well, the reason is so you don't detain a kid in the next year, so you can continue to build service arrays upstream, as Senator Vargas had said. So expansion and rural expansion is going to be crucial for us as we continue to move forward. And having stakeholders come to the table and policymakers continue to come to the table to do what is right for juveniles. Crime's not going to stop. We understand that. Serious crimes aren't going to stop in some of the areas, and we understand that. But we need to come to the table together to figure out the right solutions for these kids instead of what I always would call the easy button and put them in detention.
10 years of JDI in Nebraska. Here's to hoping that the next 10 years continue to build on the progress and the momentum that we have now. Corey Steele, Senator Vargas, thank you very much for sharing your insights with us today.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you for having us.
This has been another episode of Your Nebraska Judicial Branch. Please remember to subscribe, like, and review us on your favorite podcast platform.